extended it to other areas because I think disappointment is a really big one for a lot of people, and so I want that in. The disappointment is something you can work in your life. You know, I was hoping for, but. I was hoping for, but, and the but is very painful for most of us. Okay. And I think in the TCK life, adult TCKs, there is a lot often of disappointments in life. And not just for TCKs, it's actually for everyone. Okay? So when you listen, act. All of those C's? The five you want?
Yeah.
Okay, the fives are changes, conflict, crisis, criticism, and concerns. I will give you the you
No,
you.
the just the thing is, if you work in one to the other, or is it just mixed in your whole story? It's five.
What I do, I give those categories,
Yeah.
and I say, okay, you can draw a straight line if you're a straight thinker. Okay, you can draw one of those road, a river. You can make a tree. You can make whatever is meaningful to you. Okay, and you are going to add what is meaningful to you of those categories. Maybe you have nothing in the concerns. Because you have no concerns. Okay? So just forget about this one. Maybe you have never experienced a crisis. Okay? I'd question that, but. Okay. But, you know, and so you, I really give freedom. I just give them as a kind of let go thoughts, okay? And put that, add that on your line, okay? And then you listen to them. Yeah? Positive goes under the highlights. Okay? And then I have other things that I do. I sometimes do a collage. So that would be, I don't know where you were. In Burkina. Okay? I would give you National Geographic magazines, an A3 sheet, and I say, okay, do a picture of my life in Burkina, just with pictures. Okay? And in that, you are getting more into the culture, you are getting more into maybe difficulties, but you go more into the beauty, the animals, life, and then maybe the market and the way people were closed. And if there were war like it is now, you may be having some, you know, soldiers or stuff like that on your picture. So you just do one of those pictures. And you explain your life in Morocco, in Burkina, just with pictures. It's a great way to do it, but you need to find some very nice people, mostly doctors, who have boxes of National Geographics. Because otherwise, they are quite expensive, even secondhand. So, okay. But as you listen to the people sharing their story, you have to listen really well with your eyes, with your ears, with your spirit. Because it's not just a listening to what they say, it's a listening to what you see, it's a listening to God. It's all of that at the same time. Okay? And you listen, and as you listen, you will maybe ask questions, but you will listen to themes, patterns that you hear. You will maybe listening to some difficulties, traumas, avoidance, stuff that they've written but they don't want to talk about. You know, when they finish, I always say, have you shared everything that is on your paper? Don't forget that one. It's a really important one. Some do, and some don't. And emotions that you can reflect back, and so on. And so you listen to the tears, the broken voice, the change of voice, the nonverbal communication, maybe the shame when they start looking on the floor and they don't look at you anymore. That might be cultural too, so that's okay. Maybe anger, joy, excitement. You listen all of that, and you can just give it back to the people. You know, that guy, and you can do that in 40 minutes. That guy that I was queuing with, waiting for our fries, at one moment, he started to be really excited when he was sharing something. And I just reflected back to him. You know, I said, wow, you look really enjoying and excitement, your whole body is becoming to life now, you know? So that must have been really, really neat in your life, a really good experience. And you just give it back, you know? You don't have to bring a solution. Okay? That's one lesson that I've learned in my training. You are not the problem, check it, but usually you're not the problem, but you're not the solution either. Okay? So it's mainly helping people to communicate and then to find Christ in their world. And then you just go back to the reflecting back, what you hear. You might be reflecting by what you feel. Oh, and I hear you saying that. That I have a lot of anger in my life. Right now, in the room, when I'm hearing what you say, I feel angry. And the person may say, yeah, but not me, I feel. And they go in a very different place. Or you may put some words in something that they haven't acknowledged in their life, and they just go, yeah, me too, by the way. And it just comes up, you know. So you have all of those ways of doing. And if you have a really short time with people, you can ask two questions. What have been the 5 best things that happened to you so far or during this time? And as a TCK, in your TCK experience, what have been the 5 things that you would say, wow? And what have been the 5 most difficult things for you? And sometimes you need to give a bit of time, but usually they come up with at least 1 or 2 things, and then you may probe for more, okay? But it's just, if you're sitting the train for half an hour, if you're queuing for fries or for your McDo or whatever, then yeah, those are questions you can ask, okay? It's really easy to ask. And then they might ask you some questions too in your life, so be ready to answer too. And then maybe that question about when you have shared your story, how do you feel this is affecting you, impacting you? We've done that with Jackie this morning, with our phones. How is it impacting us? All the change, all this speedness of technology. You do the same with this TCK stuff. How is it affecting you? How is it affecting your relationship with God, with yourself, with other people at home? How do you cope with it? That's maybe if you have a bit more time to talk with people. Okay? Any questions? Feedback? Commentary? Witness? Have you been there? I haven't done much yet, but we've done a lot. That's the foundation. Love the people, be interested, give them time, and give them your listening. Active listening. If you do that, you love them not just because they are TCKs, but because they are made after God's image, they are God's creation, they have a lot of value, and you're interested in them. And you give them space, time to speak about their life. Sometimes when I work with groups, I say, when was the last time that you had 1 hour to speak to someone about your life? And you were listened to. And you felt understood. When was the last time you could speak about your TCK experience for 1 hour without interruption? No judgment. No, this is not good, this is good. No, none of that. Just listening, someone who listens to you. This is, I think, and I believe, half of the healing, at least half of the healing. And as a church, we have to come back to our feet. Because we don't know, everywhere in this world, we don't know how to listen. I've been in Africa, I've been in the States, I've been in Europe, I've been in Asia, in the Middle East, nobody knows how to listen. In Africa, you start speaking, and in many, many places in the Christian world, they preach at you. Or they pray for you because you need some deliverance or something. Okay? You go to other places. This one, no, it's not this one. I don't have it. But this one is going to come up very quickly. They don't listen. And so on and so on. Go in the train. With whom do you talk in the train? I talk a lot with foreigners. Okay? I love that. Because it's people who love talking. Yeah? So, this is kind of foundation where you start. It's the how you view the person. Are they in that box, TCK, refugee, or are they in that big open space, creation of God, with lots of value? Okay, God says it was very good. Okay, I'm going to look at you, to come to you, to listen to you. Wow, you're very good. And then you get the story. And then we are going to move into the identity. And I'm going to show you, some of you have seen that because I used it 2 years ago. But I think it's such a powerful drawing. I often, when I'm listening to people, they give you some images very, very often. Or they speak of a reality that for me, I'm hearing that, I'm thinking, okay, how can I help you to express it in a way that is going to help you to go further? Okay? So this one is a picture of a first day debriefing with someone who was 20-something, 23, 24 probably. And she was talking about her own experience as a TCK. And she was speaking about the war within. That's the word she used. There was a war within herself. When she was going back to her grandparents, they were telling her all the time that she could not act and be like she was on the field. She had to be and act like the culture where the grandparents were from was. And she felt, in this place, I am always torn apart. I need to be something that I know, but I'm not, but I am. And at the same time, there's a whole part of me that I have to leave aside and that I cannot express because it's criticized, it's judged, and so on. And when I heard that, the way on the field that they were working in a country, but in that country, they were working with an ethnic group. So most of her relationships were with these people from this ethnic group. She was going to school, to the country school. Okay, so she was really in a lot of tension. Okay, and I heard that tension. I heard that word war, and I asked her to draw. And this is the drawing that she made. What do you see?
Pain.
Divided. Sadness. Yeah. Helplessness. Mm-hmm.
Crying for help.
Being torn. Okay. And when you start using this kind of stuff, there's a caution. Use it with caution, okay? When you use this kind of stuff, I ask her to draw it with a non-dominant hand, okay? Because the non-dominant hand is connected with the emotional brain in our body. And I gave her maximum 10 minutes. She was finished in 5 minutes doing that, okay? So you don't give much time because in that time, you don't have time to think. And if you do it with your non-dominant hand, you cannot think and do it with your non-dominant hand. If you do it with your right hand, or for those of you who are link hand, but your dominant hand, your rational brain is going to have a go. And you will use an eraser, because your brain is going to say, oh no, it's not like this. And you're going to erase it and do it again, and then say, oh no, but there's still that and this and that, and okay? And I had one guy one day who wanted to do it with his dominant hand. And I said, okay, together here, you have 5 minutes to do your non-dominant hand, and then until the next session, you can do with your dominant hand. And in that, what came up for him was a real confrontation, because what he did was a kind of dream world where he wanted to be. And he was almost projecting himself in that place, in the drawing, from the dominant hand. And the other one was speaking about the pain and the prison he was in. It was really confronting. But for him, it was a release. Okay, he found some way where God could meet him in that. Recently, I was working with a lady. She is in her late 30s, mid-30s. And she was speaking about being a chameleon. She had learned on the field, as well as coming back, that it was not good to be upfront. So she said, I'm really good when I can just hide in the group. Now, she has a gift in worship and worship leading. And the worship team challenged her to take the lead, and she hated it. At the same time, she has a lot of struggles to connect, especially with men. She's not married, so there's a lot of question in her, and not that she doesn't try, but there's something in it every time she comes to the same place and she says no. So that's the reason why she came to see me. And this is the stuff that came up for her, this proving oneself. She is so struggling with who she is, and on the field, the parents were pushing for the doing. Okay, the father was not really caring for her, because ministry was first, and was first, and was first, so she felt neglected. And the one thing to say, I am here, was to prove herself. So perfectionism was a big one, and just the chameleon. Tell me who I need to be, and I'm going to be this person. Some other people will go into the helper syndrome, or performance. The helper syndrome is, oh, you need help, I need to help you. But when I help you, it's actually to gain something, to gain a kind of affirmation, to gain, oh, now they come and tell me how good I am. So now I am someone, now I am living. Yeah? And so it's a lot about this. We could probably add a lot of stuff. It's just a few things that came up for me in that. And I'm going to show you now through the debriefing and finding that place at the cross. That's at the end, I asked her to draw again that same image, but where she was at the end of the process. And this is what she drew. And the fascinating thing is, when I ask her what she saw and how different it was, it's not to you to interpret. You ask the people what they see. Okay? Don't make any interpretation. I will show you one and ask you what you see and tell you what she sees. Okay? And you will see why. That's the next slide. But she said to me, I am, the Lord has reconciled me with myself. And now, in that place, I couldn't choose who I was. I had to be either or either or either. It was imposed on me. Now that I'm reconciled, I can choose who I want to be, but I have to learn to do it because I don't know what it is. Okay, yeah. Left hand too. Yeah.
Was she
No. No, she was in Europe. They were in, like many European countries, where you work in those big cities, and they were working among an ethnic group within one of those big European cities. Okay. I think it was the Indian, if I remember well, but I'm not sure. Okay. So that's just something really interesting to see that. And, but then we worked with her. How can you grow in that? And this is the next picture. This is with a lady I'm working currently with. And I asked her to, because we were talking about identity, and she was talking about this, you know, I am just hiding in the crowd. When I'm part of the crowd, I'm not seen. It's okay. But she wanted to be seen, by the way. Okay. But I told her that, and this is a drawing she made. Okay. And I asked her if I could take a photo and just use it. And she said, yeah, you can do that. It's no problem. What do you see? That's about identity. Okay, that was the theme of her drawing with her non-dominant hand. And when she came back, she said, you know what? I added something. Not only I did it with my non-dominant hand, but I draw it with my eyes closed. Okay. I said, okay, great. Okay. But when I saw this, my mind was racing. I don't know where your mind is going when you see that. Thinking about identity. What do you see?
Richness.
Chaos.
Escape.
Escape. Yeah.
I see a hole in the paper.
No, there's no hole in the paper.
No, hole?
No. I know. Dynamic. Okay. So that's the way you are going to see when you first see it. You are going to have other thoughts going on. Okay. You have to put that aside. And I ask her, okay, can you explain to me and describe to me what you see or what you saw when you opened your eyes? And she said, you know, it's really interesting. The first thing I saw is a pearl in an oyster. Wow. Can you see that? Now that I say it, it makes sense, okay? And then she just explained the whole process she had made from the last session to that session that we had. And she said, God has spoken to me after I made that, and I had this idea about this pearl in an oyster. He spoke to me with the invitation that the master who makes a big feast, the people that he had invited are not coming. And he's sending his messenger out to invite them. And she said, that's the invitation for me. They didn't come to invite a crowd. They went to each one to invite them to come to the table, to come back home. And she was just making all of that, you know. And then we were able to work with this new identity. What does it mean for you? How are you going to grow in this new identity as a pearl, as someone who is on the pedestal? Because you are, Isaiah 62, you are in the hand, like a crown of beauty in the hand of the Father. You are that crown. And about Jerusalem, he says, and I show it to the whole world. Are you ready? And at the end of that session, she said, maybe I'm going to go back to the worship team because she had stopped it 2 years ago. And maybe I need to take up to be that person. And she's really good at that. Okay. So, identity. Any questions about that one? Are you okay? Does it raise some stuff for you? The other one is about belonging. And again, This is not with a non-dominant hand, but this is a young TCK who draw that, which is about the belonging stuff. But I'd like to show you just a very small clip. Is it going, the sound?
Okay.
We haven't checked that. But and it's some, I think I am on. Yeah. So let's try to see.
Maybe I've seen what Adrian likes to call a third culture kid, a TCK. I'm Ricky.
My name's Victoria Parashan.
I'm Jake Wright.
My name is Yuko Shimada.
My name's Connor Liu.
I'm Oliver Silsby.
My name is Natalie Miller.
My name is Amy Burns.
My name is Hannah Lee.
So when people ask you the question, where's home, how do you normally answer it?
When I, wow.
It's a good question.
It's difficult.
Unattended baggage is subject to search, inspection, damage, and removal.
So I'm Korean American, and I was born and raised in New Jersey for a few years. And then when I was 9, I moved to Japan. And then when I was, 12, I moved to Guatemala. So there were a couple different places I called home.
It's hard for me to definitively say that Singapore is home. And even though, I mean, I've been here since fifth grade. I graduated high school here. My family's still here. But the whole time we've been here, we always knew this was temporary.
I don't really feel like I have a home. My automatic answer is I grew up in Hong Kong, but I definitely don't consider it my home.
Why is that?
Just because I never felt like I was a local, despite the fact that I lived there from when I was 5 until right before college. So a big part of my life, but I was always a foreigner.
I've come to realize that TCKs live in this gray zone between, you know, between the culture they grew up in and the culture they're from, and they can't really integrate that well with either one, you know, whether it be Singaporean or American in my case.
There was one time when we were introducing ourselves at the Corp, where I work, about where we're from, and everyone would say, like, Louisiana, or, like, Boston, and said, well, I was born in Japan, raised in Los Angeles, but I currently live in Tokyo. Like, I said the whole thing, and it was awkward, but I said it.
Okay, yeah, realistically, I'm 3/4 French and 1/4 American, but realistically, if you look at, like, my, like, background and where I grew up and everything, I can't enforce enough how split down the middle I am.
Like, my home is Taipei, Taiwan. But sometimes, like, it gets really repetitive and, like, having to, like, answer or, like, other questions about why it's Taiwan. So I sometimes say California, Oregon, because my relatives are from there.
As a TCK, I think it's kind of ridiculous how at home I feel in an airport. Yeah, I'm sure that a lot of people in my situation would agree. We spend way too much time in airports.
So I don't know if you knew that one. Probably some of you have seen it. Belonging. I hope you have seen that one, and you know that one. If not, Ruth van der Eken has added the speaking now to it. So it's not just the looking and the thinking, but there is a speaking into that one. And this is a great one to work even with adult TCK. I have done that with a guy who was 58, my age. And he had been a TCK and had moved a lot. And I asked him to, in which corner, when you arrived in your new country or in the country you grew up, in which corner were you? And when you moved to the next place, in which corner did you move? Okay, and then I asked him which corner was the most difficult one and which corner is the easiest. What would you say? The TCK among us. Which corner is the most difficult? Foreigner, you look different, you think different, you speak different. The adopted one, you look different, but you think alike and speak alike. The hidden immigrant, you look alike, but you think different and speak maybe different, maybe alike. Or the mirror. The mirror, it's our girls. I have always to explain it because people struggle with that one. Our girl growing up in North Wales. They look alike, they think alike, they speak alike, But at the end of the day, when they have to show their passport, they are not from there. For those of you, one or two, which one is the easiest, which one is the most difficult?
I think for me, foreigner is the easiest.
Okay.
Because the expectations are less.
Yeah.
Hidden immigrant is the most difficult.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Yeah? Okay. And we go with expectation then. All the expectations of people, of your peers, of the culture, of your family, of your church, of whatever. Okay, so that, but that's often what people say, it's easier to be in the first one because you're just a foreigner. Okay. So, yeah. I go a bit quicker because I like this one. I hope you know that one, but about belonging, where, which blob are you in? What do you feel in that place at this stage? Which one would you like to be? What does it mean for you? And then the third step is, what steps do you need to make? What are you responsible for? And what help do you need to move towards belonging? Okay. But this is one to use also for furlough, because a lot of people have an expectations to be very far up. Okay. And then I'd like to finish with this one. And another one, 2 minutes. It's the unresolved grief, but this is just a thought on people who are living only in the three middle phase of the transition. And they never have time because they are changing every 6 months, every 2 years, every year and a half. They've never time to get to the involvement phase. And with that, the question is, you are losing all the needs that are here. You are losing the security, the stability, that sense of home, and the involvement, the responsiveness, the responsibility that goes with this involvement part. You are losing the belonging. And the question you need to ask adult TCK is, where do you find those things in your life? You will often find that and go into addiction places. For some people, they will find I am part in an organization, I find a belonging in an organization, and I cannot leave this organization, because if I leave this organization, then who am I? Where do I go? Okay? Because they've lived constantly in those three middle phases, and I think in the way that mission is moving now, we have more and more people doing that. Okay? So this is one thing to have, and how does it affect their sense of responsibility and commitment and involvement and so on? And what it's going to create is people who are very anxious, vulnerable, very easily hurt, often a feeling of being marginalized. So if you work with people who have been constantly changing, moving, transitioning, even if they've been at the same place, but like YOM, are there any YOMers among us? Yeah? You change every 6 months, you have a new group coming, a new staff coming. Okay? So there's some stability, but your whole life is constantly on the move. So those are issues to go and tap in. And then this is the one that I'd like to look to finish with you, is when people, and I go back to the story with the dog, when people emotionally do not leave, either because they don't want, because it's a health question and they have to move, it's the organization that decides for them, you may have the best preparation, the best living you can think of, and bang, your child just emotionally doesn't want to leave. Okay? And what happens when we are in that place is that we physically move to the place where we need to enter again, but emotionally, we don't want to move. And this is a way that I've expressing that with a balloon. It's the balloon to be anchored in one place needs to be rooted. You need those ropes. Okay? They give you to be settled in one place, to be anchored, to be rooted in one place if you have stayed long enough. If I move physically, but I don't cut emotionally, you have this big being torn apart inside. And that can lead to depression. And this is a mental health depression. I've worked with quite a few TCK who were in depression medically, with medication, under psychiatrist help and support and so on. And the core of the depression was here. Not letting go of the past. For different reasons. One can be because if I let go of the past, I'm letting down all my friends. If I let go of that, I'm letting go of my identity as a TCK. Those are the big fears, okay? And especially in working with adult TCK, that's something you're going to see more and more in some. Some have done well, but some are still stuck in that place, and we need to help them work out and make a good closure to it, okay? So that's about it. And thank you. It was short, too short, but we could go for a week probably on this topic. Huh? So thank you very much for participating.